This was our seventh protest walk. Luckily, this time they allowed us to stop at the end of the protest walk and actually have a meaningful protest. And there, it was, and there we had a chance to have speeches and recitations and poetry and performance, cultural performance and conceptual performance and so on. But anyway, the cool thing about Zenica is it's a city about an hour outside of Sarajevo. And always had, it was like Pittsburgh of Bosnia-Herzegovina, Pittsburgh from the steel mills era. They're going through a lot of hardship now because of the economic conditions. The steel mill now is in the one Indian company is the owner. They're not working in full capacity, very limited capacity. A lot fewer people employed there. Anyway, some economic issues plus the ecological issues and so on. They're present in that city. What's good about Zenica is the organizing committee, Zenica Platform for Zenica Organizing Committee, or Platform for Progress Zenica Organizing Committee, started earlier than others because they had the history and experience of others, started their preparations early on. And they decided to do something different. We got a permit for 100 people, participants. The mayor called me the day before and said he wishes to be there. He's going on vacation with his wife. But had he, if he were in town at that time, he would have showed up because he invited him to give a talk. Give a speech or to address the audience. What was good about Zenica was, this is what they said. Okay, they gave us 100 people. With 100 people, normally you cover, a mile, half a mile, whatever. You go from one place, from the beginning to the end, and hope that a certain number of people will see you along the way. We cannot ask them to join the column because the number is limited because of the COVID-19. We could only have 100 people. We all had masks, of course, kept a distance. But what they did was different. They decided to start not from one place, but from many places, with smaller groups. And then like tributaries, whatever you call it, they are going into the main flow, and the crowd was getting larger and larger as we went, but those small groups covered other parts of the city. So it seems like with 100 people, we covered half the city. It's not a very large city. And it was really cool how we started in the small numbers from the central place, which is a park, where they have a copy of Ban Kulin, which was one of the early Bosnian rulers, Bosnian kingdom rulers, who were one of the most famous. Kulin is the name, Ban is the title, like a duke or whatever. What he's known for is that he issued a statement, permit, a document that allows merchants from Dubrovnik to travel everywhere in Bosnia with his protection. He also allows Christians to practice their faith. I'm mixing this with the other one that was issued during the Ottoman times. This one was that as allowing the free trade and free travel to people from outside. And then it was 831st year of that document on that day when we started. And then also on that day, that was the day of the canton where Zenica is, Zenitsko-Dobojski canton. So that day, that Saturday, the past Saturday, was meaningful. And we started from a park in which they keep a copy of that document of the Kolymban. And the whole park is known and called based on that document. And that's where we started. And it's almost in a meaningful way signifies or indicates the fact that the Bosnia has this historical continuity from 12th century on. And even though it's experiencing horrible times now, it is not something that people should arbitrarily decide whether this thing should exist or not. It traces its history to 1200, to 12th century and on. And so we did that. We were walking, started walking. Others were joining us as we were going toward the center. People of Zenica reacted really, really, really well. From the balconies, from cafes, from the sidewalks, from the parks, from the cars, supporting us, and that was wonderful. And in the end, we stopped at the square of Alija Izetbegović, and Alija Izetbegović was the first president of renewed Bosnia Herzegovina. And that was in front of the shopping center. And there's also a large fountain with the flags, big flags of Bosnia-Herzegovina flying. We paid respect at the three different places. And that square, we had three people give a speech, including myself, and had somebody who had a very powerful recitation of his own poem written for that occasion. And there was a song that was performed by a wonderful musician. And there was a performance of the group of people enacting our five principles. Country first, capability, knowledge, education, honesty, integrity, and then care for youth. And now we added accountability and responsibility at the same time. So the five principles, these were enacting something that would, that at that time clearly demonstrated the importance of those five principles. So in the end, we thought that it was well organized, it was extremely well carried out, implemented. People reacted really well to the speeches. And in Zenica, we added two more demands. One demand had to do with clean air, because of the steel mills, they don't have clean air. And the other one, and so we extended that to ecological situation in general, protection of the environment. And the other one was sports, care for funding for sports. It is so important, and particularly in Bosnia, these days where almost anything and everything that has to do with the country is being questioned by somebody. When the national team plays, especially the soccer national team in soccer and or basketball, most people get around and behind that national team and or squad and cheer for them, and that is also one of those few times where people forget the daily troubles And it's not about politics, and it's not about jobs, whether I have a job or not, a disease, COVID-19, whatever. It's about the national pride. And it is very important from human body, of course, to the sense of national identity. So that came from the local team. They suggested we adopt it. We did, just like we adopted culture that we introduced in Zenica. No, I'm sorry, in Tuzla. We now introduce sports in Zenica. Anyway, that was a big one. That was the seventh one. And now we are planning four more. We'll see if we will have enough time to do it. I'm going to the U.S. now. That's going to make it harder, obviously. But so some things will stop until I can get back. But so be it. And then there are elections that were supposed to be in October, October 4th, and got pushed for November 15th. And most are December 20th. And kudos go to all those people who participated in its implementation, realization, their courage to make it different, and they did. And one thing that I was so much proud of, so very proud of, was the fact that the sound system was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, listen, the sound is so important. Sound is important. You can have a marvelous speech, but if people have to struggle to hear you, it's going to get lost. Only if they don't hear it. It has to be crystal clear so that it goes away. People don't even pay attention to it because it's so good. It's loud enough. It's clear enough. And then you have to worry about the message. Then it was perfect. The sound system they put together was perfect. And also what's cool enough, they even put a stage on. That's something we struggled with in Bajaluka. We were thinking about the last night. What do we do? How do we create some kind of stage so that people can see those who are scheduled to speak? They had a stage. But not only that, then everybody used the stage. Two microphones on the stage, big sound system. And when they announced me, and I'm approaching the stage, and I'm looking at the stage and the two microphones, and they are both wired. And I don't on the stage. I go always down. I'm among the people and I talk. I always go to the stage to take the mic, and then I go down. And as I was approaching the stage, looking at those two mics, trying to figure out which one had a longer wire so that I could walk more freely. As I was approaching the stage, there was somebody from the back side of the stage, obviously the people who are on the technical support. One of them was approaching me, and I was looking at him and I said, what's happening? And he extends his hand, and there's a wire mic. And I was so, I almost cried, man, because that's what I want, that's what I hope for, that we're going to have that level of professionalism, that you don't have to ask, and it's there, and people notice that that's what I do. And when they plan, they say, okay, for Misad's part, he likes to move around, you cannot keep the guy in the same way, so give him the wireless mic. And everything was there. The guy who was waiting, he knew, he approached me, just handed it to me. And it was at that moment, it was really at that moment, that I was so proud of what we have accomplished. It doesn't happen all the time, but that was a moment where everything got together somehow. The sense that we get it. You have to think about details. It's important. And another moment like that, I had 2 days ago, 2 nights ago, when I heard about that event, that when somebody hit in the head, in the face, one of our candidates for the list in the town of Elijah, city of Elijah. And that night, I heard that while I was in another meeting, I was looking at the Viber group, that's Viber group of the governing board of the platform, when somebody brought up that news. The guy posted that on Facebook. He didn't tell us, just posted on Facebook. And the conversation started. Oh, we have to issue a statement. We have to come out. We have to react. We have to protect the person and so on. And I took that announcement of his Facebook status or video, and I copied that onto the political, and I created a Viber group on the spot for the political advisory board. And I said, listen, this is what has just happened. What do you think? Do we need to issue a statement, organize something else? And so I was watching that two streams of Viber messages, two groups. And then I see we needed to, all of them concerned, all of them constructive, all of them suggesting certain courts of actions. Then I was taking the best responses, constructive response, all of them were constructive, but those that could help the other group from the side of the governing board, copying that statement into the Viber group for the political advisory board and vice versa. And when I saw a certain point that a certain consensus emerged on the president, on the governing board side, I basically tell them, listen, the political advisory group is meeting as we speak, communicating. I let them do their job because this is what they should be doing. But let me suggest that the two of you join the other group so that we can complete the conversation. And I added the two more people from the governing board side to the political advisory group. The conversation on the one on the governing board side started to wind down, but the other one was actually getting into this decision-making process, which what to say, how to say, and then decided to have the press release that's going to go in the morning and decide on the press conference when we see the activities in town so that we can have news representatives with us rather than them being busy with some other events. While we were talking, one of the members took the responsibility to write the draft of the response. As we were winding down with the conversation, the draft came up. We quickly actually zeroed in on the right version, and I said, thank you. I basically went to the other side, to the governing body side. I basically told them, listen, you're going to soon see a draft of the press release so that you know. And also you will get a set of statements that you can use should you be asked about what happened, but also how to inform your members as to what happened and how to respond to it, how to behave now, and then what to expect in the future. And I came back, and those statements were written, they were converted to the other side. And within an hour and within an hour and 15 minutes, we found out about the event, we discussed it, we decided what to do. Two bodies of the Platform for Progress got involved. They got actually combined partially to carry out the task. Everybody was then informed of the content and the nature of the response. Everybody had the chance to give their comments in case they decided that maybe a different kind of response could be appropriate. And then the conversation on the other side stopped as well because it was done. And I know it was a long description of one moment, but it was done. I felt that was also a great demonstration of what Platform for Progress can or should be, that type of communication where everybody was constructive, there was no panic, no sense of urgency, but no panic, meaningful conversations. Nobody was trying to be just to do something to appear smart. Everybody was just concerned and constructive. In the end, we arrived at the solution quickly. We had a course of action. Everybody volunteered to do a certain thing, and it was done right away. And I really, at that moment, felt proud with that group of people. And then I wrote something to that effect. That was really a tough moment for that person and for Platform for Progress, but a beautiful moment in terms of how we reacted to it together in an organized, constructive, coordinated way. And that reminded me of that moment in Zenica too. And then I often talk about the events. I often talk about what I expect from Platform for Progress, from people, different kind of responsibility, different kind of behavior, professionalism, integrity. And it was on full display in those two moments. And that encourages you tremendously as well.
Well, I was going to ask, they may be seem like simple moments or whatever, but for you personally, there's got to be some sense of satisfaction or accomplishment to see the growth that is happening, not only with the peaceful protest march and how they can be pulled off, but these other two examples of how far things have come. And it has to serve as a motivation for not only you, but people internally with the party.
Absolutely. It is easy to get into this negative routine of this could be better, why didn't we do this, or why did you do that? But these moments ground you in a way that you step back and you say, wow, listen, this was maybe not possible before we started this. And every protest walk seems to be motivational in nature. It allows you to recharge. And everybody who participates in those walks says the same thing. And we had, just like we always do after the protest walk, we do a little gathering. I mean, obeying, respecting all the measures and limitations on behavior that are in place, but still we somehow relax and then we talk about the experience. And this time a group of us went to have lunch and went to one of our members owns a restaurant, is opening a restaurant, so this was all the food that they cooked at home. And then we had the seating in such a way that is safe. And And then we all, a lot of us actually went around and talked about the experience. It was so interesting that there was one word that kept popping up in their descriptions of the event and how they felt during and after the event. And that word was family. And they kept saying, we are a family. Often we say, we have to say, this is a political party because technically it is, legally it is. Often we talk about the movement, which is a movement, political movement, rather than a party, because it signifies its ideas and the focus on ideas rather than the fact that it's a political organization. But this is a step further when people say we are family. And it indicates exactly what families are. It doesn't mean that they agree all the time, people in the family. Often they don't. But they keep each other's back. Then when it's tough, people get family members are those that you can rely on. And that's true everywhere. But it might be more true in southern countries. Those family traditions are even stronger. And it is really that that sense of, oh, we like to see each other, we come to these protests and we talk and we see, we all make a contribution, we engage the local people, we include them in that. But the sense is that they are proud when they say, well, this feels like family. It's like the place where we belong. And that makes a world of difference. And you remember that statement, that phrase, that word, when it gets tough, and then you suddenly, your heart melts, and you say, hey, it's like, it's worth it.
All I can say is, from the outside looking in, it's fascinating, and it's so fun to watch the growth and how far it has come and how far it can go. It's very neat.
You're full part of it, and I really appreciate it.